Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 24, Text Number 2. Asijjnanam mato atta Ikam iva vikalpitam Idavivekya nipunha Dokita yuge yuge. Asit, there existed, Jnanam, the seer, Atta'u, thus, Attaha, the seen, Ekam, one, Eva, simply, Avikalpitam, undifferentiated, Yada, when, Viveka, indiscrimination. Nibunaha, persons who were experts. Adol, in the beginning. Krita Yuge, in the age of purity. Ayuge, and before that, during the time of annihilation. Translation. Originally, during the Krita Yuga, when all men were very expert in spiritual discrimination, and also previous to that, during the period of annihilation, the seer existed alone, non-different from the seen object. Purport. Krita Yuga is the first age, also known as Satya Yuga, in which knowledge, being perfect, is not different from its object. In modern society, knowledge is highly speculative and constantly changing. There is often a vast difference between people's theoretical ideas and actual reality. In Satya Yuga, however, people are viveka nipunaha, or expert in intelligent discrimination. And thus there is no difference between their vision and reality. In Satya Yuga, the population in general is self-realized, seeing everything as the potency of the Supreme Lord. They do not artificially create duality between themselves and other living entities. This is a further aspect of the oneness of Satya Yuga. At the time of annihilation, everything merges to rest within the Lord. And at that time also, there is no difference between the Lord, who becomes the only seer, and the objects of knowledge, which are contained within the Lord. The liberated living entities in the eternal spiritual world are never subject to such merging, but remain forever undisturbed in their spiritual forms, because they are voluntarily one with the Lord in love. Their abode is never annihilated. Asijjnanam mato atta ikam iva vikalpitam idara viveka nipunna adokita yuge yuge. Originally during the Krita Yuga, when all men were very expert in spiritual discrimination, and also previous to that, During the period of annihilation, the seer existed alone, non-different from the seen object. So, here of course, Lord Sri Krishna, Bhagavan, is describing the process of Sankhya Yoga. And in this process also, in the previous verse of course, previous chapter, Lord Krishna has advised that we can ultimately fix our mind, control the mind and senses, and come to the point where we can fix the mind upon the Supreme Lord. That's the ultimate goal. The goal that we're all human beings should be striving for is to fix their mind and be able to see constantly the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And of course that vision is true to reality. You know, if we can actually see the Supreme Personality of Godhead at every step of life, we're actually seeing reality, because there is, you know, everything is non-different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. At the same time, seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead does not negate his personal form. So we can see the Supreme Lord and all his energies in both the spiritual and material manifestations. But ultimately, everything is non-different from the Supreme Lord, who expands all of existence with his own energies. So that is reality. If we see something as different from the Supreme Lord, then that is illusion. Or if we have a different opinion than the Supreme Lord, that is also illusion. Sometimes people even accept religion but don't accept the opinion of the Supreme Lord. We have a gradual polarization that is happening in our current times between the Muslim nations and the Christian nations, right? Because there's no oneness of seeing a common Father and understanding the wishes of the Supreme Lord. Of course, what turns a lot of people off religion is that naturally people accept that if someone is religious, if they follow the path of saintliness, of godliness, that therefore there would be love and peace. But what they see is that when people follow religion, there becomes more hatred and less peace, more fighting. And it's the very religion that they're following which causes the fights, and therefore people lose faith in religion. You know, how can religion, it doesn't produce the results that you would expect, and therefore it must be, religion must be no good, religion must be false, religion must have no value. And of course this is in the present day, there is a huge agitation between the Christian world and the Muslim world, which will only get worse, because as described here, people have no concept of God, no real concept of God. Only when there's here we're discussing how to perceive the Supreme Lord And at the same time, see all of creation, both material and spiritual, in relationship with the Supreme Lord, in its truth, in its reality. This is the Sankhya philosophy. In Satya Yuga they did that, and therefore there was harmony, because they all had the same vision. There is one true vision, and everyone saw that, and therefore they could live in peace and harmony. In Kali Yuga, no one can see that true vision of reality at all, and therefore they all have live in different illusory concepts. there can be no possibility of oneness, because they can't see the truth, the one truth. So there can be never all of the plans, all the efforts can never produce harmony until they see the one truth, until they all have the same vision. And they have the same vision, the same understanding of what reality is, what is the purpose of life, how things should be, why things are the way they are. Unless we all have the same vision, there can be no possibility of harmony. So for instance, just like yesterday, so I started to read the cards and open up the presents for Srimati Radharani, and so there was two different opinions as to what our temple room was for. Some devotees were thinking, yes, let us continue to meditate upon Radharani, and that is the purpose of the temple, especially on this day. And others were thinking, oh, this is a nice place that we can have a bit of a chit-chat, about the kids' education, and, so-and-so's got a runny nose, and, so-and-so got a new car, and, like this. So we had about 70% of the people in the temple room competing. Several times I asked, can we, just concentrate on, Srimati Radharani. There was, I was in the way of their conversation. Radharani was, almost an obstruction to what they wanted to do. So then Yogeshwar, of course, grabbed the microphone and was quite heavy on them. And just said, what you're doing is offensive, and then they gradually quietened down. But you can see that unless we have the same vision, there's no possibility of working together. The beauty of Sankhya philosophy here is that when it points out reality. And by seeing reality, it uproots the threefold miseries, because we can have the same vision as we can know what the goal of life is, we can know how to attain that, and we can all work together in that way. And that's what they did in Satya Yuga. in the last week or so, one Christian cleric, priest, declared that on such and such a day we will burn the Quran. International Quran Burning Day. And of course, you post that on the internet and you just get international coverage. And there was one person who did post something on the net where he got a Bible and the Quran. And his opinion, of course, as we said, that people are becoming disgusted with religion. They can't see. It's not producing the results that anyone declares. It's only producing fighting. So His opinion was they're just books. You know, the Bible is just a book with paper in it, and the Quran is a book with paper in it. You know, why are you fighting so much over books? And so he tore a page out of each book and rolled himself like something to smoke and, you know, smoked a page of the Quran with his, a little bit of herbal stuff in there and smoked a page of the Bible. He's a lawyer in Queensland. Of course, I don't think he's a lawyer anymore. I think he's lost his job and he'll be finding it very difficult to get another one. There was an item on the news that the minister who declared an international day of Quran burning, he somehow changed his mind. And you know, you see these FBI agents, you know, with their dark sunglasses, sort of leaving his premises. You know, they've come and had a word with him. Just the amount of trouble that he's caused internationally. a lot of this, of course. The reason he began to want to burn the Quran is because they want to build a Muslim mosque at the site of where the Twin Towers were destroyed by the some Muslim fanatics, and therefore a huge proportion of Americans or the Christian world think that it's an insult that, you know, as far as they can see, there's no, you know, all Muslims are guilty for what the handful did, and the whole Muslim religion is just, you know, something that should no longer be seen or, you know, thought of as anything more than just an annoyance, a disturbance. So they don't want a mosque there. So there's, very, very difficult. You know, very, very difficult. So now what to do? If they... you can see the influence of Kali Yuga, how it works. Everyone becomes entrapped. If they now... Even if the Muslims decide, well, okay, let's build our mosque somewhere else, you're going to have millions of Muslims saying, they'll get angry. So they can't back down, even if they want to. And if they build their mosque there, it's just going to go on forever. And every politician, you know, so the whole world is just going to get entangled in this, you know, cycle of hatred and just polarization more and more and more. That is. The difficulty is, of course, is it is very difficult. people who follow or who teach religion these days cannot understand God, and therefore, of course, their followers have very little chance of understanding God. again, you know, we see how Kali Yuga works, that in Pakistan, where they've had the big floods, massive, it's just unprecedented, the scale. It's something which is hard to imagine. I mean, I think about a third of the country or something. Practically, it's affected the whole 8 million, I think there's about 8 million people. The whole country has been affected because the entire country's food crops were destroyed. The entire country's food crops. So it affects, it's not just the people who are flooded, but all the people who relied upon that, you know, well, in fact, the whole country, that was their import, export, and their existence. So it's actually affected the entire country. It's a massive problem. And, you know, you see in the hospitals, of course, you know, on one day, dozens of children will come in, and they're, you know, if they're not treated immediately, you know, several of them will just die within hours. The next day, there's 100 people coming in. You know, they're already thinking, well, how do we deal with 10 people each day? And the next day, 100 children come in. And then the next day, there's more. You know, just the waves like this, the suffering is unprecedented. So, what the group affiliated with the Muslim religion, who are you know, fanatical, who were responsible for the killings in Bombay, although they were banned, what they do is they just change their name, and they still exist. Same people, same building, same purpose, different name. And what they're doing, of course, is they're distributing charity to all the poor people. The government, as usual, is unable to, you know, they haven't seen the government. That you ask the people say, you know, is someone bringing you food? Is the government bringing, no, I haven't seen the government, they haven't done anything. So they're just living, you know, in life and death situation. And the only people that are helping them are the, you know, these people affiliated with this Muslim group who, you know, responsible for some atrocious activities in Bombay. So then, you know, all the common people, they're very happy. You know, these are our friends. So, the not only do we have a flood disaster, but then those who have who follow religion without a real proper understanding of the purpose of Muslim religion or Christian religion again become affiliated with groups that, you know, have very little understanding of the proper purpose of religion, and in this way they get the new recruits and everything like this. So you see how Kali Yuga works, just creating and expanding the cycle of hatred and fighting. And the worst part of it, of course, is that for the most part of it, the troubles of the world are blamed on religion. You know? So these days, if you talk to the average person, if you present yourself as a religious person, there are huge amounts of prejudices, you know, right from the word go. They don't even want to hear, as far as they're concerned, you know, you're the problem. You know, if you present yourself as a religious person, as far as they're concerned, you're actually the problem, the main problem for what is wrong with this world, before you've even opened your mouth. And you know, you've got to work through all of that in many cases. So you know, this philosophy of Krishna consciousness is very important, because really it is you won't get this information that you get in the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam. You won't get that anywhere else. Even in the Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada says, you know, what knowledge that you will find in any other bona fide scripture of the world, right? And that knowledge really is quite vague. You know, there is something there, but if you take all of that together, you'll find all of that in the Bhagavad Gita. On top of that, there's just so much more, you know, that is the Bhagavad Gita. And Srimad Bhagavatam just expands that knowledge so much. You know, just gives you an actual clear vision. One who becomes well versed in the science of Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, they will become completely God-realized and completely self-realized. Everything is there. There is more than you could ever want, more than you need to become God-realized. To become God-realized, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, you always think of me, you become my devotee, you offer your worship to me, you offer your obeisances to me, your respects. If you do this, surely you will come to me. So actually, in order to go back to Godhead, one can just accept that immediately. Just that instruction, that's enough. One doesn't need any other instruction. As Krishna says, you always think of me, so you always think of Krishna. Worship Krishna. Think of Krishna, but think of him, as a devotee with love. Become his devotee and worship him. Do something practical. So we're not just thinking of Krishna lovingly, but we're actually engaging our body, mind, and words and everything in his service, in worship, to worship the Lord. And at the same time, offering our humble obeisances, always considering ourselves to be a subordinate to the Supreme Lord. So, serving the Lord practically with love and with one's mind always fixed upon the Lord, one just has to accept that instruction and your education is finished. That's a fact. But if there are some doubts, then there's, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, from every angle of vision, whatever knowledge that you may require to substantiate that Krishna is the Supreme Lord, how to always think of him as his devotee. If anything is not clear, if there are any doubts, then study these books, and everything will be revealed. But even if you don't study these books, you just accept that one instruction, Krishna says you will come to me, that's it. So it's not actually very difficult. To think of Krishna, one just associates with devotees, and devotees are always thinking of Krishna, and if you're actually in the association of devotees, you'll always think of Krishna, even if you don't know what to do. You just, hang around with the devotees, associate with them, and you'll naturally always think of Krishna. So even if you have no idea how to be a devotee, you just associate. So it's actually anyone can do it, very, very simple. We see, even little children, sometimes even animals, just by association, they become Krishna conscious. So if one accepts that, one can go back to Godhead and education is finished, or one can study. Of course, even if one accepts it from the very beginning, one may study Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita very scrutinizingly in order to preach. That's another very important reason, because people have so many misconceptions. Actually, devotees generally from the very beginning, they understand when they come to Krishna consciousness. If they take up full-time devotional service, they understand, yes, I should be Krishna's devotee. And they should also feel very confident from the very beginning that they have nothing to worry for. the Lord Sri Krishna, they're the devotee of Krishna. They can very quickly come to the transcendental platform. They never really have to, you know, struggle in material life like others, because they're personal servants of the Supreme Lord. It's like, actually, usually the servant of a very important person lives better than that important person. Yeah, you know, the servant of a king, he lives better than the king. Because Prabhupada was describing, I heard a tape the other day, even the guru. Srila Prabhupada was saying, you know, they will cook so many foods for me, I'll eat just a little, and all my servants eat the rest. You know. They're living better than me, I'm just eating a little. And, we see yesterday, as the servants of Srimati Radharani, servant, we cook so much for Radharani. You know, Radharani would just take a little as she pleases. She's not, being a resident of the spiritual world, she never has to worry where her next meal's coming from. It's not as if she looks at that and thinks, oh, if I don't get stuck into this now, you know, might miss out later on. Might miss out on the 9 o'clock. So, she'll take, Tinsha Rupa was saying this morning when we were about to address the deities, how she finds it fascinating how devotees, they will eat every single preparation. And she says, I don't understand why, you know, normally people just take a choice of something they see and they will eat that, but devotees have this habit, they eat every single bit in huge quantities of each. But the fact is that as devotees, devotees don't, they're in this life and the next life, they really have nothing to worry about. Just by serving the Supreme Lord, automatically liberation is there. It's not something they have to separately strive for. But for people who are suffering, because there's so much suffering, and that suffering is because of the ignorance. You know, people are living in ignorance. They do not know Krishna. They do not have Krishna consciousness. And as a result, that is the direct result of why they're suffering, is a lack of Krishna consciousness. And all other, as Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say, there's actually no lack of anything in this world except the lack of Krishna consciousness. All other scarcities, all other limitations, all other miseries stem from that lack of Krishna consciousness. And we can see in Kali Yuga how, because people do not have that one vision by which they can all work together, there's so much on this planet, so much facility, but they can't work together, and therefore a few will enjoy. And the majority of the world are living in very, very difficult situations. But there's no need for it, because there's so much opulence on this planet even now. Even with the reactions that we're getting, you know, through sinful reactions, there's still so much opulence on this planet. Yet, so then why are so many people suffering because of scarcity and lack of medicine, lack of education, lack of this? Is because people cannot cooperate. Why people cannot cooperate? Because they cannot perceive the truth of reality, the one truth of reality by which they can all work together with that same vision. So Krishna consciousness is actually, you know, people will say, you know, you're preaching this Krishna consciousness, what practical value, you know, what, you know, since the beginning of Srila Prabhupada bringing Krishna consciousness to the West, and even before that, when Srila Prabhupada was preaching in India, even the Indian population was saying the same thing to him. But what can you practically do? You're preaching this philosophy, but is there anything practical that you can give to society? In fact, the Hare Krishnas are criticized as being, not Hare Krishnas, but us and other religions as being, opting out of society and therefore not joining the business world and the industrial world and making some, industrial contribution, some business contribution like this. They feel that the country will, we will be happy if each person makes a little bit of money and the government can take some of those taxes, economically, and if we increase the population to some degree and then we get more taxes and everyone's engaged in economics and we're taking some, then we can be happy like this. So this is in each country is thinking like that economically. And therefore, if someone appears not to be part of that economic success formula, they feel that, you are deserting our country. You're not working for our interest. But they don't understand, actually, that all the problems in the world come from this one point, this lack of Krishna consciousness, and if people can work together by being Krishna conscious, all of the problems are solved. Then all the facilities that are there already on the planet will be shared, which is, sharing, of course, is the basis of friendly relationships. They have their missionary, their ambassadors. They'll go to another country and they'll shake hands and get a few, photographs taken and big smiles and shaking for 10 minutes while all the cameras are flashing. But that country knows, we can never be your friends because you have everything that we want, and you won't give us any of it. You give enough, just a little bit, enough to keep yourself powerful and enough to keep us always like beggars. How can we ever be friends? Which reminds me of a joke. When we used to do the rock concerts, when I was on the farm, we used to cater to the rock concerts. And Simon Daly was... He began a couple of them. And he built them up, so he became very, very wealthy. But although he had huge amounts of money, he's known to be, very, very tight. He was always very favourable to the Hare Krishnas because he knew the Hare Krishnas from his very beginnings when he used to need to have some prasadam with the devotees. But anyway, he's very, very, he's known to be very tight. So there was this running joke that one time when he was a little boy at school, one of his friends came to school without lunch. And so Simon said, "No, don't worry, I'll sell you half of mine." I'll sell you half of mine. So, that's what it's like, the friendship, the Americans will go over to some country, yes, we are your friends. Don't worry about your situation, we will, sell you a huge price, to make you indebted to us and then practically our slaves and our servants for hundreds of years to come. We will sell you a little bit of our... But there's no, it's not the basis of a friendship, and therefore, even with the help that they get, there's never any real release from the suffering. It's amazing that a country such as America, with such massive amounts of wealth, even when they're not doing well, there's so much opulence there, that they can't take any little nation and just solve their problems like that. Just fix up the country. Here, you need this. They do the tiniest little token thing, But if they wanted to, they could go to any of these little countries and just set them up really good and proper. It'd be nothing for them. Not difficult at all. There cannot be a basis of real friendship. Because people know this. You're coming, you're shaking my hand, you're seeing me suffering. The children of our nation are dying. People are going uneducated. And you come over, you shake my hand, you give me pittance, and make out you're some big friend. How can I... And I know that you can actually really help me, but you won't. So how can I be your friend? What makes it worse is, if they feel that that country has literally caused their problem, and then, the people who have, you have created this problem, just like when, the British pulled out of India, right? And to make sure that they could not rise up as a great power, they created politics to divide the country, to divide the Muslims and the Hindus. And of course, they've been fighting ever since, but that was a situation, as Prabhupada points out, particularly instigated by the British, and it has destroyed, India's ability to, be a powerful, successful nation.
Divide and
rule. It's one of the it's one of the policies. So, and then, after purposely setting a country at war against itself, and then to come back and offer a little charity, which has very little, and then they're wondering why we can't be friends. But people, they take Krishna consciousness and they think, what can you practically do? Krishna consciousness, everyone can be friends. You imagine that. All the rulers of the nations, they're all friends. Best friends. They're just ever looking for the opportunity, Here is... Just like a devotee will go to any country in the world, and they'll go to that temple, and they just immediately become friends, best friends with anyone. It doesn't matter what their background is, they have the one vision of Krishna consciousness. Now, if they're the rulers of this world with Krishna conscious devotees, it's the same situation. You go to America, you go to this place, you go to that place, and everywhere you go, they're just Krishna conscious people trying to, help you. So Krishna consciousness is the practical solution, the peace formula, and therefore in the Bhagavad Gita, in the fifth chapter, text 29, Lord Krishna gives that formula that, one who understands that I am the Supreme Lord of all that be, the Supreme Controller, the Supreme Proprietor, and the Supreme Friend of all living entities, that person and that nation who follows that person, they can attain peace, and others there is no possibility of peace. So this Krishna consciousness movement is very, very valuable. Very, very valuable. In fact, as Srila Prabhupada once pointed out, that there will come a time in the future when people will, say that this Hare Krishna movement saved the world in its darkest hour. So, the Vaishnava is very, very compassionate. The Vaishnava has nothing to personally, you know, everything is there for the Vaishnava. Really, you know, as a devotee, you become a, you know, a devotee and you're always serving Krishna. Really, you never really have to worry about anything. You know? But the devotee, their nature is that they're very, very compassionate for those who don't have that Krishna consciousness, and they want to give them, you know, I am happy, my life is happy, it's you know, free from the you know the reactions, you know, we're serving Krishna, so therefore there's no reaction, no karmic reactions to our activities, everything is very nice. And the more you distribute Krishna consciousness, the more there is for everyone. You know, it's a spiritual commodity. You know, you can, and the more you give Krishna consciousness to someone else, the more you benefit. You know, and they benefit. And just, you know, it just, there's just benefit all around. And devotees become very happy. You know, you become Krishna conscious, and then the devotee feels very happy. Just like, you know, yesterday we saw so many people come to Radhastami. You know, even, you know, not so many years ago, even in Melbourne, you know, people would come to Janmashtami, people may come to Gaurpaneem. Radhastami was still a very, you know, quiet little festival with, you know, just, you know, not like yesterday. So to see so many people coming and getting that mercy of Srimati Radharani on that day, you know, makes the devotees just very, very happy. You know, that's the perfection of you know, their life. And to preach, you know, or to help people understand Krishna consciousness, to help people to understand who is Srimati Radharani and always be seeking her favour, and to help people understand Krishna, to help people understand Srila Prabhupada. Devotees who take that service, you know, as their life and soul, they become so dear to Srimati Radharani. So dear to Radharani. And sometimes, you know, on the festival days, you notice that everyone wants to get that mercy from Srimati Radharani, and sometimes everyone wants to be seen getting that mercy, and you don't know which is more important to them, being seen getting that mercy or actually getting the mercy. The next day, you know, sometimes even amongst devotees, it's like you know, finished, you know, that day is gone for another year. But actually, Srimati Radharani is still here. And there's, you know, we can, you know, smell the flowers and eat the prasadam and see her beautiful form on Radhastami. And that's certainly very pleasing to Radharani. But, you know, the next day and the next 364 days, if you actually do whatever you can to help people come under the shelter of Srimati Radharani's mercy, that is a service that you know, Srimati Radharani is you know, as Krishna says, no one is more dear than one who, you know, takes up that service. And Srimati Radharani, you know, being so very, very compassionate, we see what happens to Krishna. What happens to Krishna when, you know, he becomes overtaken by Radharani's mood? He becomes the most munificent, merciful incarnation. That's the influence of Radharani. And Krishna is already, you know, he's unlimitedly merciful. But when Radharani's mood literally, you know, takes over his, you know, whole being, he becomes... then he manifests, you know, his eternal. Of course, most merciful, magnanimous incarnation of Lord Chaitanya. So we can see that mood, you know, the influence of Radharani there, how she affects Krishna. You know, even Krishna becomes, you know, totally transformed in his, you know, supreme manifestation as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So imagine, you know, little living entities like us being flooded, you know, by a drop of the mercy of Srimati Radharani. So, you know, that is Srimati Radharani's mood. She's definitely very, very eager. And you know, we're fortunate because if we perform our services in our disciplic succession, so Srimati Radharani, she is appeared with Krishna in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and inaugurated this merciful movement to give everyone Krishna consciousness. And then Radha and Krishna have left that for the six Goswamis. So, you know, now what we want to do, you do. And the six Goswamis, then they're passing on to the next Acharyas, all the way down to Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada is saying, now what Radha and Krishna themselves want to do, their most heartfelt desire, I'm passing on to my disciples, and then those disciples, and now that's passed on to us. So, you know, what Srimati Radharani and Krishna and their associates personally want to do, you know, we have that opportunity. So, you know, it's quite incredible to think, especially, you know, if we consider sometimes, especially in my case, you know, a lack of qualification. I was saying yesterday, you know, the other day, that, you know, I dress like a devotee, so people don't really know the sort of rascal I am. But, I'm more like Rahu, you know, Rahu snuck in with amongst the demigods, you know. But somehow or another, that mercy is there. And I think I've mentioned, you know, like a little dream I had, you know, when I was a brahmachari. I think I told that dream how, I always like to remember it anyway, but how I, when I became Krishna conscious, joined the Krishna consciousness movement, tried to become Krishna conscious, my best friend, I really wanted him to just experience, you know, you've got to come along here, you know, the prasadam, you know, the dancing, you know, the friendship, the travel, the adventure, the challenge, the excitement, you know, it's, you know, and then you go back to Godhead after all of that, you know, it's just, you know, come along and get some of this. So in my dream, I travelled from here, caught the tram down, ran down to the tram, caught the tram down to Flinders Street Station, caught the train down to Frankston, caught the bus down to Mount Eliza, Mornington, and then I had to run, you know, up the hill in Mornington. And I was thinking, you know, I've got to get him and get him back, you know, because I only had that one day, and I had to make sure he saw Radharani and Radha Krishna before the deities closed. I thought if he could just see them, he'd know what I'm talking about, you know. If he just see them, that. So I, you know, he didn't want to come, and I'm thinking, you know. So I sort of, you know, convinced him, you know, just for, you know, I'm your friend for old time's sake, you got to come. So he came along begrudgingly. We ran down and caught the bus, and we, you know, caught the train. We got to Flinders Street, caught the tram, running up here, and I'm thinking, oh no, you know, I'm looking at my wife and thinking they're going to close the temple. You know, and then he'll go home, that'll be it. And I come in, I open the door, and just as I come in, the doors are shut. And I was like, you know, so I was, for him, I see them every day. And I was just absolutely devastated, you know. And then I see this puffs of incense just billowing out from over the top here. And then the doors start to open. And I'm thinking, who's in there? Yeah. Radharani has got off the altar, she's opened the doors, does a little pirouette, and then gets back on the altar. And I'm thinking, I said to my friends, there's Radha, my friend, you know, there's Radha Krishna like that. And then, you know, I woke up after that. But I've always treasured that, you know, it was just a silly dream, but I've always felt that, you know, that is you can't base your life, you know, necessarily on, you know, just dreams and what have you. But if there's some basis in Shastra, then we can accept that. But it helped me to understand, you know, the Shastra and the Guru like that. But I've always understood that, you know, if you try to spread Krishna consciousness to others, Radharani, Srimati Radharani, will personally, you know, personally give you all protection and all facility, because it was so dear to her. You know, you have nothing to worry about yourself. But if you actually try to give Krishna consciousness, because it is the one thing that in this world can actually make people happy and successful. Srimati Radharani Ki Jai. Right, any quick comments or questions?
One question was, this year you stayed alone, not different from the scene of the day. Can you elaborate on this?
So what's that?
This year existed alone, not different from the scene object.
Yeah, it's explained here in the purport. At the time of annihilation, everything merges to rest within the Lord, and at that time also there is no difference between the Lord, who becomes the only seer, and the objects of knowledge which are contained within the Lord. So it's just, sometimes if we go back to the beginning, it's easy to understand how things are, that everything is one with the Lord. So once the Lord's energies begin to expand creation, it becomes more difficult to perceive that oneness, but it remains one, but it's more difficult to perceive that. But sometimes if we go back to the original vision of that, there just is the Lord and his energies, you know, before creation. So in other words, there's just one vision, one truth. And when the Lord expands himself, that one vision, that one truth should be maintained. The living entities are actually expansions of the Lord. They're separated expansions, tiny, vibhinansa. But they should because they're one with the Lord, they should maintain the same vision as the Lord. But they may lose that vision when they become, when they're allowed a little bit of independence and so much facility. But in the spiritual world, even though there is so much facility and variety, everything is expanded unlimitedly from the Lord, they never lose that sense of oneness, and that oneness is there because of their love. So when the sense of love and the, you know, is there with the Supreme Lord, that oneness of vision and oneness of truth, oneness of purpose, that maintains. But as soon as our love becomes transformed into lust and envy, we lose that vision of oneness. So but sometimes to go back to the origin helps us to perceive again the actual reality.
When we might approach someone to preach them or bring them closer to Krishna, like just trying to stop someone, do they benefit?
Oh yeah, yeah. It can change their life. You know, you stop someone on the street, and anything that they do which is at all favourable, which means if they just like you, right? their devotional life will begin. If they, you know, read a couple of lines of the book, look at the pictures, see the picture of Krishna, what to speak, they take the book, you know, they have a little conversation, give a little donation, anything that they do which has, you know, some favourable aspect to it, even if it's only a favourable intent, that is a jhana sakriti. So they put their 1 cent in the bank of their spiritual account. Prabhupada was saying the other day in a lecture, someone asked him, you know, how can others become devotees? And he was saying that, you know, you put the 1 cent in, and when that each day, you know, each time you put the 1 cent in, when that comes up to, you know, $100 mark, you can become a devotee. Yeah. So it's like that, you know. And then he quoted the verse that, you know, the cowherd boys, many of them, because some were nitya siddhas who come from the spiritual world, but many of them were devotees who over many lifetimes were depositing into their spiritual bank account. And when it gets to a certain point, you've got enough to spend, and that spending means that you can actually play with Krishna. Yeah, that's a fact. You can, you know, jump on his back, he will jump on yours, you can eat his lunch and share your lunch with him like this. It just adds up to that credit. It's eternal. But just like if you really want to increase your deposits, that's why preaching Krishna consciousness is so important, because, you know, when you actually preach Krishna consciousness, you deposit huge amounts of, you know, pious wealth in your spiritual account, massive amounts. You know, we can perform devotional service where certainly we're, you know, engaging in the service of the Lord, and for each and every part of that there is some credit. But when devotees undergo whatever tribulation or difficulty and make all sorts of sacrifices to give others the opportunity to become Krishna conscious, that is the most favourable to Krishna. And the deposits that we're actually making in our spiritual account are massive, massive. Very, very quickly bring us to a point where you can, you know, go back to the spiritual world. And going back to the spiritual world means that usually you take birth in some place where Krishna is actually performing his pastimes, and you'll associate with him in that last lifetime and then return to the spiritual. It brings you very, very quickly, even within this one lifetime. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that there's no reason why all of my disciples, right, cannot go back to Godhead. You know, there's no reason why any of them shouldn't go back to Godhead in this life. And Prabhupada quoted that to his disciples as well. That there's no reason. I remember once giving a class on Bhava. I was actually discussing with we were discussing all the different steps from Shraddha to Prema in a group that we had in the eastern suburbs with the Indian community. And most of them, they were full-time devotees. But when I got to the subject of Bhava, they were all new people. And I thought for a bit that, do I do my usual, what I prepare and talk about Bhava and Prema, or do I just talk about something? And I thought, I'll just give it to them. I really did. I said to them, you know, I described what is Bhava, what is Prema, and I said to them, there's no reason why, you know, everyone in this room can't attain that in this lifetime. And, you know, when I look around the temple now, a lot of those devotees who are in that room, that, you know, newcomers are in that room today, they're here now. You know, full-time devotees undertake initiation and everything. I was a bit worried that, you know, I did it. But the fact is, if it's, you know, if you carefully present things, So the same, there's no reason why, you know, the devotees, all the devotees who are serious about Krishna consciousness can't go back to the spiritual world, you know, associate with Krishna, you know, in this lifetime. That's it. And if you want to do that, you've got to work out how to put massive deposits, you know, for the same time. If you spend, you know, 6 hours today, you can put a couple of cents in your spiritual account. But in just a few minutes, you know, if you're doing something in pure service to, you know, most pleasing to Radharani, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srila Prabhupada, you know, your service just has massive effect. So that's, you know, the nature of devotee, that they take each second and try and get the maximum value, you know, so that in this lifetime, yep, you know, can go back to the spiritual world. I forget what the question was. Yeah. Not a pinch of desire for sense gratification. Not a pinch. That's 100%. Yeah, that's it. You're counting on that, eh?
You're gonna do it.
Eh?
Yes.
Yeah, but you've got to be a little careful of a tendency that I probably could do better, but I'll let Chaitanya Mahaprabhu make up the slack. You've got to be careful of that one. You do everything within your power to, you know, properly, you know, serve Sri Sri Radha Krishna nicely. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is certainly happy to make up the whatever difference that may be there. He's very merciful. But if we're, you know, just not doing our best, then we'll have to come back. and you know, until we get to the point where we're doing our best, and then the Lord will make up the difference. So we have to be careful. But the best, you know, the best, you know, doesn't, you know, it doesn't mean a devotee has to be, you know, some crazy fanatic. You know, the best means that, you know, Prabhupada said chant 16 rounds, follow the four rigid principles. You know, if you just do that, just chant 16 rounds, follow four rigid principles, and just throughout the day, you know, preach Krishna consciousness and, you know, serve the devotees. You know, you don't have to be, we don't have to become superhuman, superman, superwoman, Wonder Woman. We don't have to, you know, it just, Prabhupada's given us a very, as we said, the things that we do, the tiniest little thing that we do in devotional service is important. If Radharani wants it, if Radharani wants it, the most insignificant thing you do takes on huge, momentous proportions. You don't have to do something. You don't have to be some big manager or big this, anything. You don't have to be sannyas, nothing. If you know that, yes, this is something that the Guru, Prabhupada, Radha Krishna and Chaitanya, if they want this, then the most insignificant service becomes immense. But if it's actually not properly in the line of service, even the most wonderful or prestigious activities in the eyes of others, even devotees, can have very little spiritual effect. So trying your best really means just to, you know, properly understand the nature of devotional service and doing that nicely. And a lot of it is a lot more simple than sometimes we imagine. Yeah.
Answer my question.
Oh, okay. Answer your
question. Yeah, you touched on two subjects. One was speaking about the level of knowledge of the person there, which you touched on originally. I had a discourse the other night where things are spoken about far beyond their level, of so much information, instead of allowing them to go away and research a bit and come back and get a bit more. And the other thing about it is too, the rewards of going home to Godhead in this lifetime or any lifetime or not going home, they're really a secondary consideration. The amount of love and effort you put into whatever service you're doing is the important thing. All those other things are secondary. And they follow in automatically anyway, so the thing should be to concentrate on that with love and service devotion on that thing. And all those other things, they should, I hear them sort of spoken about, so called. And seems that they become the focus to get that to come elevated and to go home to Godhead. The primal thing should be just to do the service in a loving, caring, proper manner. And all that stuff takes care of itself. Yeah.
That's good. Very nice. Couldn't have said it better. Okay. All right then. Thank you. Hare Krishna.